Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
And a happy Tuesday to all of you in Kansas City.
Hell yes, baby. It's Tuesday. Oh, let's go.
Boy, he is up and at him today, baby.
I'll tell you what, I am ready to go.
I just want to win, Jen.
Max going to Spain tomorrow. Baby,
it's
good
Thursday.
Tuesday for you, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah, you leave tomorrow.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Afternoon.
Heck yeah.
There you go.
After the show, a Thursday on a Tuesday.
Yeah. Well, it's a Tuesday for you, so you need to take care of business. You're going to be gone for a
true.
Week.
I tell you what.
Unless you meet some nice lady over there in Spain
and never
come back, which is very possible.
No. I've got the nicest lady.
Who's the best Spanish basketball player right now?
Ricky Rubio.
Yeah, Ricky Rubio.
He's still holding ground.
Is he the guy? Because I remember when he was coming out years ago I was working in St. Louis with my late friend Jay Randolph Jr., rest in peace, my brother. And he was so big on Ricky Rubio. I'm like, I don't even know who this guy is. I'll start watching, and I still haven't really seen Ricky Rubio, and that was 15, 16 years ago.
The prince that was never promised. Yeah,
like, whatever happened to that guy?
Yeah, it didn't work out.
Who had a better career, Anthony Lynn or Ricky Rubio?
Anthony Lynn, the former coach? Yeah.
Or not, Jeremy Lin.
Oh, Jeremy Lin.
Lin-sanity Madness?
No, absolutely Jeremy Lin, because he did in New York.
Well, yeah, that writer had a shorter career about Jeremy Lin than Jeremy Lin had a career.
Jeremy Lin had a better peak, that's for sure.
Yeah,
those three weeks were
epic.
Well, Lin-sanity,
awesome.
Baby.
Yeah. Felt like 3 years. It was amazing.
But he's that same guy. Like, every sports team has one of those guys that, like, if you're a fan of that team, you get it, you understand, you cheer, you celebrate, you get excited for that player. That's the guy for the Knicks, fellas. I mean, when you look at their history of things that they have had from Patrick Ewing to today, it was pretty bleak, right?
Yep.
Jeremy Lin gave Knicks fans 3 weeks of excitement over the last 30 years. So he's that guy that they bring out and he waves to the crowd and everybody gets excited about that.
He waved off Carmelo. He said, yeah, man, I'm ISO-ing, bro.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he did.
At least he sealed it. If he didn't, there'd be an uproar at Times Square.
You gotta make it, yeah. Gotta make it.
Speaking of gotta make it, shout out Sister Jean.
Justin Moore will inbound it. Goes into Tavares for the win. It's good. And the Loyola Ramblers take down Cleveland State. 91-88.
Sounds like me back at UCM days. That
does sound like a good
UCM Media Network. But hey, yeah. Game one, you know, buzzer beater. Sister Jean living on. RIP to the 106-year-old lady.
That's cool.
That's awesome.
That's really a cool way to start the college basketball season, which began last night with like 147 games. And I know you guys are basketball fans, but I got to ask, is this not the longest season on planet Earth when it comes to sports? Or do I just perceive it to be long because it's a wraparound? It goes from November through the calendar year and you ended in March or April, right? Like, it just feels like it is the longest season of them all. The football season, guys. We're in week 10 already of the NFL season. It feels like it just started yesterday. And I know Dusty and I are baseball fans, so we probably view it differently. I feel like the baseball season moves fairly fast. The basketball season starts in October and ends in April. I'm like, what in the hell are they doing for all of this time?
Yeah, when I was in college, it felt normal, but now it definitely feels like, wait, we're already here.
Technically, baseball is played in 9 months, March to November.
Yeah, I guess it is, right?
I mean, what, the World Series ended on November 1st?
November 1, yeah.
The Royals won their World Series on November 1?
Yep.
So, I mean,
yeah. But it doesn't feel as long, I guess, because I really like baseball. The basketball season, and of course, in the basketball season and the NBA, you've got, like, LeBron faking sciatica, and, you know, half the players don't have any interest in playing until about, you know, March and things of that nature. So it just, I don't know, it just feels like it's so long. And then you look at these regular, they're playing 38 college basketball games or something like that before we even get to, like, March Madness. Yeah. And it's just, to me, it's just too much. Like, there's nothing wrong with starting the college basketball season basically at the end of December, have a holiday tournament, and then, you know, a couple of non-conference games, and then boom, right into conference play after the first of the year, and put this thing on overdrive. Because like you mentioned right there, Cleveland State versus, you know, Loyola of Chicago. I mean, other than Sister Jean, who gives a rip, right? Mm-hmm. KU, I guess, played last night. I don't know one name on their team, and I don't care that I'm admitting that. They played Doug Gottlieb's Green Bay Packers last night. I think they won by like 80 or something like that. Like
94-51.
94-51. November 7th?
They played them yesterday.
Oh, that was wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. November 3rd already. Yeah. But no, they played the fighting Doug Gottlieb's yesterday. What does that get you? What are you gaining by doing that and playing in those games and, you know, wasting time and all that kind of crap? So I just think the college basketball, the pro basketball season is way too long, and we're starting already. It's like we're right in the middle of football season, man.
I don't know, man. St. John's versus Quinnipiac.
Quinnipiac, that's a big one.
Come on,
yeah,
man. That's a huge one. UConn and New Haven? Yeah, like, huge. I'm locked in.
That's the Nutmeg State battle right there, man. That's a big one.
Yeah, Michigan State, when they took on, you know, the toothpaste, Colgate?
Yeah. Cool. They got AIM this week and Aqua Fresh next. Yes, I mean, like, exactly. I don't mean to sound like a bitterman, and I know people get excited about this, but I mean, what matters today is zero.
Yep.
The only thing that matters is that 3 months that 3 weeks in March. That's it.
Yeah, your number one recruit, Darren Peterson, had 21 points. That's the one name that I know on your team.
For Kansas?
Yep. Yeah, he's the guy.
Like number one overall in the draft.
Right. Hammer, the guy at BYU. Yeah. Dabanista,
the kid that's getting $7 million that came from like Massachusetts or whatever it goes. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
He had 21 as well last night.
He did. Yes. Good for him. At least he's living up to it, right? Who did BYU play last night?
I watched I can't remember. I watched his minute and a half highlight reel. I saw that. He looked good. It was the first time I saw him play basketball.
D2 Ferris State or something like that, you know?
From that 90 seconds, I did not see a player that was worth tanking my franchise for a season to draft, but he looked good.
Okay.
So today, 3 o'clock, the NFL trade deadline comes to an end. Mm-hmm. A lot of movement. Not talking about you, Jerry, but a lot of movement today.
Hello, America.
Better believe it. But Nate Taylor, ESPN beat writer for the Kansas City Chiefs, has ESPN has articles of everybody's beat writer, what they would, you know, possibly go or where they would, you know, might look. It says in the article on ESPN, Chiefs to make the playoffs, 87.9% chance, so relax. Projected first round draft pick slot, number 30.
So they have the AFC Championship game. Chill out.
So there you go. basically, you can read the article if you want. It says, adding, subtracting, or sitting it out, key position of need, who could be on the move, who could they acquire. Key position of need, defensive tackle. The Chiefs need and have needed on the edge, but a bigger need might be an upgrade on Derek Nnadi, is what Nate Taylor seems to write, who is last among qualifying defensive tackles with a 13.2% run-stop win rate. He also has a 0% pass rush win rate, though he plays only a handful of clear pass play snaps per game, but still not getting much pressure there with Nnadi. Where they could move with players, not just necessarily because draft capital they don't really have a whole lot of.
Mm-hmm. They really don't, yeah.
So looks like the cornerbacks could be a position of need. Again, I said before, yesterday, this season is going to remind me a lot of the Royals season. And you ask why? Well, up and down, a couple wins in a row, a couple losses in a row, a bad loss here, kind of reflects season throughout the season. And then where do you have a surplus in pitching? Where do you have a surplus for the Chiefs? Secondary. Mm-hmm. So cornerback Christian Fulton, Chiefs signed Fulton to a two-year deal. He's in free agency, putting a limp alongside Trent McDuffie and Jalen Watson. But because of the knee injury and training camp, Fulton hasn't played much. He was a healthy scratch in week 7. Rookie Noel Williams has leaped over Fulton in the depth chart. So you do have maybe a piece there, Fulton or somebody like that. And who could be target, he said? Steelers defensive tackle Keanu Benton.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know if that gets the excitement moving or anything like that for this organization. But I think really the key part was the adding, subtracting, or sitting it out. And we've been telling you this for a while now. They're going to not make a huge move. It's going to be a move from maybe a defensive tackle position that's not going to move the needle for a lot of people. And it says, you know, on ESPN, the Chiefs largely standing pat, save for a modest defensive move. The Chiefs are inclined to stay pat on the offensive side, but they will explore defensive line depth. And look, we've been telling you that since kind of, you know, week 4 when the running back stuff, or actually it was probably after week 2 when people were wanting a running back. And I said, look, I don't think they're going to give up that draft capital to go out and get a running back. I said, defensive line is where they're kind of looking right now. And that was the case back in, you know, September. And here we are, I don't know, hours before the trade deadline. And ESPN's now saying the same thing that we've been telling you all along. It's probably going to be a guy on the defensive line, and just prepare yourself for today. Like, don't be prepared to get excited, right? Like this is one of those days where you're going to open up your Christmas gifts and it's going to be socks, toothbrush heads, AA batteries, and
got
you know,
socks.
Yeah, but you're going to go, man, I need all of this. I don't have to go look for socks. I don't have to worry about buying batteries for the year. I've got my toothbrush heads for the year. Like, all that stuff that
What's
you
on
need.
Your Christmas list,
there you go. That's it. It's every year the same for me, Dusty.
So
I don't
you
care.
Want Terrell Suggs or a Le'Veon Bell type of player?
No, I'm not saying what I want. I know what I'm getting.
Yeah,
you know. And I'm set up for that. And at the end of the day, toothbrush heads, you don't have to go out and buy those. You don't have to worry about buying your new socks or anything like that. All that stuff that's like you need, that you get, you realize like later on, oh, okay, that was a really good Christmas gift. I needed socks. I needed toothbrush heads. It saves me the effort of having to go to the store. Wasn't exactly wonderful on the day you opened it under the tree, but you're like, ah, that's a very good practical gift. And so that's kind of where I'm resigned to with this trade deadline. They go out and get a defensive tackle. Hey, that's a good practical gift, because I spent way too much time yesterday trying to figure out how to stop the run. You know, for this team, I was way deep in a lot of stuff yesterday trying to figure this thing out. And the question that I keep coming back to is, run defense is a want. You've got to want to go out there. You got to have balls to go out there and play against the run. It's a want to. And so these guys got to want to stop the run, but you also still need some help along that defensive line. And, you know, you add a defensive lineman in that's probably going to come in here and be that run stuffer. It's your toothbrush heads. It's your AA batteries. But at the end of the day, you're like, damn, if I didn't have those, I don't know that we're here at the end of the year. So I think it's going to be a piece that helps you advance, but I don't think that's going to be a piece that gets fans excited where you're texting your boys going, hell yeah, we got Breece Hall, you know? We got who? Who was that guy you said from Pittsburgh, you know? Like,
never heard of him.
Keanu Benton.
Yeah, I like Keanu Reeves.
Nice guy.
That'd be sick.
John Wick, he'd stop the run.
Yeah, he would.
So kill his dog. Shout out to Beagles. So also, Jordan Schultz reported yesterday the Commanders have been open to trading several players, including, well, former friend Andrew Wiley and, get it again, former friend Nick Allegretti, both of whom bring extensive starting and playoff experience. We know where that came from. Wiley has valuable position flexibility, having played both guard spots and right tackle during his career. Leaves the question up, what do you want to do? When you go get some serious pass rush help, or do you want to get some insurance on your offensive line that was not good on Sunday afternoon?
I mean, it's the recent one, right? And we're all looking at that offensive line going, we need help. And these two guys are available. I had somebody text me yesterday and go, why don't they just call the Chiefs and say, hey, you want your guys back? Give us a 5th-round pick. We'll send both of them to you. Because now Washington, guys, we were talking about it before the show, they are in a bad way right now. You got talk show hosts fighting with each other on the air now over who should be the quarterback in Washington, D.C. They're 3-5-1. Their whole roster now is available to be traded. And I would be absolutely on the phone lines seeing if I could get, you know, Andrew Wiley back here in Kansas City, because having Andrew Wiley back here, you know, and playing that offensive line and having the opportunity to back up and fill in at multiple positions and having that experience.
Washington 3-6.
Oh, 3-6. That's right. Yeah, that's right. 3-6. I don't know. I still thought 3-5-1, but Allegretti and Andrew Wiley, they know the system. Those are the type of fits that I think the Chiefs go after on this, you know, final, you know, 8 hours or whatever it is, sprint to the finish line before we get to the before we get to that trade deadline.
Local athlete here, getting some some slash out there nationally. Plus, we'll get into the library as well. We'll end the library short for positive reasons because we have a musical addition to the library this week.
Yes.
We'll get to that on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Nick Bolton, and you're listening to Fresco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Back in on Tuesday, we went to the library about Walter Nolan.
Walter
Nolan. Watching the replay of last night's puke job from the Cowboys. That's a bad defense right there.
You
man.
Think? I mean, my goodness.
Or maybe Arizona has two really good targets in Trey McBride and Marvin Harrison Jr. Because
oh my God, the Marvin Harrison Jr. move.
I mean, it had CeeDee Lamb in awe. Because I think before the game, I saw an article that Marvin Harrison Sr.
Oh, yeah, he's
was
talking.
Calling out Arizona.
When family members get involved, it's always good.
Sure is. Well, that hits close to home.
Did your family members ever go to battle for you? Like all of a sudden dad's doing a call inspector. Hey, your programming sucks. Dusty should be featured.
No, I think my dad was like, good luck, man. If you're going to do this, let me give you a checklist of what you're going to have to go through.
Because that's essentially what Marvin Harrison Sr. did yesterday. Yeah, I can't watch this offense. It's terrible. Thanks, Dad.
And then like 8 targets in the first half for Marvin Harrison yep. Jr. 6 for 80 and a touchdown at halftime. It's like, okay, Jacoby Brissett, your life will be a lot easier if you target number 18 and 85. Trust me.
Yep.
And this Di Mercado guy that only is known right now for getting hit by his coach and fumbling at the goal line. Yeah. Also performed last night as Dallas got absolutely beat the snot out of by the Arizona Cardinals.
Brissett looks so much better than Kyler Murray throwing the ball.
Kyler Murray stinks. Yeah. I told you guys that 2 years ago. This guy sucks.
Yeah, Brissett in turn is a really good backup quarterback.
You could have a hot take today and say Kyler Murray never throws a football again for the Arizona Cardinals.
Well, DeGannon did say after the game yesterday that he's the starter when he's healthy, but is he ever going to be healthy? That's the key right there. When healthy, they can make sure that he's injured all season long so he never does have to play again. And Dusty and I were talking in a break, like, what team's going to trade for this guy? Because he's available now. They think maybe in the offseason, you know, the Jets.
Oh, God. If he's smart.
Terrible move for them.
If he's smart, go be Jaden Daniels' backup in Washington or go be Lamar's backup in Baltimore.
Yeah, you had your time. $100 million.
I was just saying, like you tried, man, and no one's going to say you didn't. And now your career is a career-long backup where you have these occasional starts or, you know, McVay's like, hey, man, Stafford's got one more year left. I can do something with you in this offense. Let's try to figure this out. But I doubt that would happen.
I mean, what would you expect to get back in compensation for Kyler Murray at this point in time? If you get a fifth-round pick, I think you're going to take that for all intents and purposes because he stinks. He's a bad NFL quarterback, and they've given him weapons. They've given him opportunity. He never took advantage of it. It's not the leader either. He's not that dynamic leader. He never looks angry when they're losing or excited when they're winning. Or you know, you kind of run off your emotions of your quarterback. I was looking at Dak a little bit last night. You could tell how pissed he was with what was going on in that game. So, you know, Kyler Murray, best of luck to you, man. But maybe you go back and play for the A's now. They still have his rights.
We actually will get into body language and how it can be effective on the field because there was a Chiefs player who was showing body language, who I think Mac will get into in a little bit later in this game on Sunday that was really tipping pitches, I guess you could say, to give it a baseball theme. Their baseball analogy. But something that's also catching the eye nationally is Chris Jones. Not calling you out at all. You were very harsh on Chris yesterday for many reasons why. There was no existence of 95 in that Buffalo game.
Been really no existence all year.
So, yeah. But they're saying that he is failing the eye test, but not just failing the eye test, failing the eye test miserably.
And this comes from NFL.com, okay? This
is not semi-pro football out of focus.
Right. This is the league calling Chris Jones.
So Collinsworth thinks he's got a 99% win rate.
Right.
Okay.
And you know, the league at the NFL.com, Jeff Chedia and love Jeff and his commentary, he has like, you know, kind of a mid-season review of what's going on, you know, with the NFL. And he's got three players that are on their way up and three players that are on their way down. And number one is Chris Jones. Jones on that list of players or key figures around the NFL going down because Matt LaFleur is number two. I'm sure you're not happy about that, Mac. Matt LaFleur coming in at number two and the Washington Commodes coming in.
He hates holidays.
Yeah, Matt LaFleur does.
Mm-hmm. Did you see that audio?
No.
Like, what do you think about Halloween and all that? He goes, to be honest, I don't get an F about Halloween. Honestly, I hate holidays in the middle of the season. Something he hates Christmas.
So he hates Thanksgiving. Everything. Like, really?
Football hardo, man.
I mean, my God, that's why it's going swimmingly out there. Come on, man. Be a little bit more kind of relaxed. Dress up as Santa Claus, right? Have some fun. But about Chris Jones, and this is what they write on NFL.com. There's been so much buzz about the Chiefs finally having more weapons around Mahomes that people haven't noticed the way Jones has declined this season. He's been almost invisible lately. He had two tackles in that loss to Buffalo and one in a win over Washington. He only has two sacks. Factor in his decision to not chase Trevor Lawrence on a game-winning touchdown on a game-clinching scramble by the Charger quarterback and failing to keep contain on a game-clinching scramble by Justin Herbert in a season-opening defeat. This hasn't been a great year. The Chiefs have had every reason to be excited about being better on offense. The problem is, and this is the key for me, the problem is they won't win a championship if their best defensive player doesn't play better. And that comes from Jeff Chedia, NFL.com. And I do believe that he's right about that. We need more out of Chris Jones. And Chris really needs to dedicate the final half of this season to playing like a badass, to playing like a man possessed, to playing like the Chris Jones that we know. Because I do believe Chedia is right. If we don't start getting more out of Chris Jones, at least in the run-stopping aspect of things, then this team's going to have a hard time winning and getting back to and becoming a champion again. They need more out of Chris Jones. He has to play better. And if he was playing better and this defensive line was playing better, we wouldn't have to go out there and panic and make a move for a defensive lineman around the trade deadline. So I'm with Jeff Chedia, man. It's time for Chris Jones to start playing better. And if he can't play better and the game has passed him by, then hey, that happens. That's life. It happens to the best of us. But as we sit here right now, as long as he's out there on the field, I need 95 to be number 95.
Dun, 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 dun. That's a highlight sender. trade in the NFL has just happened. Logan Wilson is sent to the Dallas Cowboys. So there's that player Jared Jones was talking about. Cowboys are finalizing a trade to acquire Bengals middle linebacker Logan Wilson. Sources tell me, Adam Schefter, and Todd Archer early Monday that Jerry Jones told Stephen A. Smith that the Cowboys have made a trade ahead of Tuesday's NFL deadline. It is expected to be for Wilson. For whom? Seymour.
Seymour Butts?
Yes. No one's Seymour Butts than you, Uncle Tony. For whom the Bengals have been seeking a sixth-round pick. Wilson signed a four-year, $36 million extension in 2023 and has still 2 years remaining on it after this season. Logan Wilson was the Bengals' leading tackler from 21 to 23 before missing the last six games of 2024, and he still finished with 104 tackles in 11 games.
Good Lord.
His 11 interceptions over the past five and a half seasons are tops amongst middle linebackers. And, oh, by the way.
Wait, hang on a second. What team is he coming from?
Cincinnati.
So the team with the worst defense in the NFL is true.
Well, that should tell you
yeah,
there.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so his nickname is the Cowboy.
Oh, God. Can't That's that the only up. Reason why Jerry Jones got him. How does that make Dallas better, guys? I mean,
anything makes Dallas better after last night if you're going to defense, man.
But so, what are they? They're 3-5-1 right now,
There's
right?
Your 3-5
yeah, they're 3-5-1. So is Jarrett trying to save the season with Logan Wilson?
I don't know. But to your Chris Jones, that's just the first information. We'll give you trade information throughout the day, and NFL trade deadline expires at 3 o'clock our time today. To your Chris Jones topic, do you think that Jacksonville play will just be the scarlet letter for him the rest of the year?
I do.
Like, no matter what he does, if he has a bad game, they will always go back to the A, which I know he didn't commit adultery, right. But that if you've ever read the story, the scarlet letter, that's where I'm getting at. Is that what always will be like, well, I quit in that game. It's like, yeah, well, this game he had a sack and a half, and the next game, yeah, he didn't do anything. But it's like, yeah, but you go back, because Chidia's article, and I'm with you. I respect Jeff Chidia's words, and I really know that guy, you know, dives down to everything he does. He watches the Chiefs, like, all the time. But he brings that up. Like, he says, fails the eye test and talks about the game against Washington that we saw zero pressures on 33 or 34 snaps or whatever it was. The worst he's had since 2021 playoff game against Pittsburgh. Then we go to this game. No real presence of Chris Jones, but yet it all goes back to a scarlet letter, which is that Jacksonville game.
Yeah, and I think it probably will. I think that's kind of the way the world works right now. We live in the low-hanging fruit society, and everybody remembers that play. But look, it was such a massive play, guys. I mean, that play right there, we keep talking about that Jacksonville game. If he makes that play, that's a W, not an L. And when you make the money the expectation is higher for where you are. And when you're willing to accept that check of being one of the highest paid players on the team, you also accept that responsibility that your production needs to match what they're paying you. They're paying you because they expect production out of you. And if you're not out there producing, then what good are you to this football team? And so if Chris Jones is making the league minimum, I wouldn't care what Chris Jones is doing at this point in time. But he held out. He signed this new contract. And now at this stage of the game, he's not living up to that contract. And it does need to be discussed because we need him to play better to get to where we want to go. He's the leader of that defense, and he needs to play like the leader of that defense, or just say, hey, guys, I'm just a third down player now at this point in my career and just be a pass rusher, you know, on third downs.
Because I think two things, and then Mac, I'll let you dive into this as well. I think two things with Chris Jones that gets brought up on the text line is, you know, getting double teamed, how many times is he getting held that it's not getting called? Sure. I'm sure that's there. You know, maybe talk to Josh Allen on how to act a little bit more and maybe get those calls. We saw it. And then not only that, I think the one thing that is kind of disappointing from my perspective, Chris Jones, which somebody brings up on the text line as well, good point, is that Chris Jones maybe not always got sacks, but got pressure, but also how many times in a year do we see Chris Jones with those paws up in the air, knocking
pass.
Footballs down?
Yep.
Where's that?
Where's that? That's exactly right. We were all, I hate to be the high school guy here, but I always remember in high school, if you couldn't get to the quarterback, hands have up. Your arms up.
Of course.
Knock the ball down.
Yeah, Chris Jones is great at that.
Did you see the one Watt had the other day? And Chris Jones has saved so many playoff wins because of those. I mean, you can go back in the annals and look at some of these games. The San Francisco Super Bowl was won because Chris Jones got in the way and got in and, you know, disrupted the passing game. So I look, Chris Jones has done a lot of great, right? And I'm not here to say anything negative about that. But what we're looking at today at this moment in time is not the Chris Jones. And that comes with age. That comes with being in this league for almost a decade now. The wear and tear that's on his body. I understand all of that factors in. But if you continue to go out there, you've got to produce.
Yeah, but I'm not seeing a player that's trying and not producing. I'm just seeing a player not really try right now. I mean, I watched him specifically last week for part of this reason. Because
so you're saying effort is the reason
to me, now. I'm seeing him stand straight up and get pushed back. I'm not seeing him anchor down and really try and, oh, I just don't have those legs anymore. I'm just not strong enough. Oh, I'm just not quick enough off the ball. Like, I'm seeing him stand straight up and watch the ball get run past him multiple times this whole season and specifically last week. And if he's a third down guy and a pass rusher, that's fine maybe for another team. This Chiefs roster, the way they've structured this defense specifically, he is the sun and the rest of the team revolves around him. He has to be better. He doesn't have to be Chris Jones of 3 years ago, but he has to be 75-80% of that,
at least.
Legitimately, or else you're right. We're not talking about AFC championship games. We're not talking about February. It's all done.
No doubt.
I'm relaxed.
Look at me. I need quiet voices today because I'm going to give you guys some time to jam out later, okay?
Oh, okay.
I'm going to need you to bring it in, okay? All right?
I'm not going to do this.
I need full attention right now. We're in the library. Right here.
It's today.
That's right. I can't read it. I just
don't hurt your eyes.
Whose glasses are they again? Binkley's?
None of your damn business. What's a better future story? Tyreek Hill's kids? Stephon Diggs' kids. I don't know if you saw this. Stephon Diggs has four ladies pregnant at the same time. One of them being Cardi B.
I did.
BBL stinky.
You.
BBL stinky.
Hey, we'll be able to sing a little bit. Let's say something about kids.
Yeah. The better story is going to be Tyreek because there's more of them.
That's true. That's true. I guess I was thinking about which one I'd rather be the kid of, so I'll go Diggs. That's not close.
Yeah.
Awesome. Zero answers.
That's like horseradish.
Easy. Who's going to have a shorter story with their new regime? Dan Quinn or Chew Chomping Pete Carroll?
Yeah, I think it's going to be Dan Quinn. You got your star quarterback snapped in half and then admitted to it. Pete Carroll has won a Super Bowl, been to another. I know Dan Quinn has been there as well. But, I think it's Pete Carroll's going to have a longer story, yeah.
Your head is like two different sizes.
I know. It's just so you look ridiculous.
I think both these guys are gone in two seasons from now, but I'll go agree with Bob. Yeah, I think that Jaden Daniels blunder is going to stick with him.
You sure about that?
Sure about that? No, I'm not sure about that.
I need you to keep it quiet.
Threatening.
Better fiction novel?
Hmm.
Carolina Panthers. Jacksonville Jaguars. Did I say expansion novel? I mean,
yeah.
That.
I think the Jags are better than the Panthers because I'm more bought into Trevor Lawrence than I am to that guy in Carolina. So I'll say the Jags are a better fiction story, but I still think both of them are fictions.
Oh yeah, this is Fiction City, but I'll go Carolina. I kind of just like that story more. I think it's more fun. The Jags just feel I don't know. I don't like Jacksonville.
I don't like the sound of your voice. Well, Jacksonville beat that Chiefs ass.
Might be biased.
Who won that game in week 5? Better ending story through the season. Patriots, Colts.
I think the Colts are teetering right now. I'm going to go the Patriots are going to have a better ending to the season.
Well, and there's just the story's better because that division's going to come down to the wire. Colts division's over. So, yeah, Pats, Bills, who's going to win? Yeah, give me New England. Fun story.
Mm-hmm. Drake Manning is going to be the guy?
Yes. He's no longer Drake, maybe.
So I have a really we'll get into that outside the library. Better unsung hero this year, Drake May or Jackson Dart?
That's Drake May.
Yeah.
I like that Dart kid. How'd you feel about your game today? I don't care about how I played. We lost. Mm-hmm. That's a dog right there, man. That's a leader.
I heard yesterday somebody suggested hiring Lane Kiffin to coach the Giants. Oh, I don't hate it.
I think your librarian pulled that card.
Boomers yesterday's talking about go hire Lane Kiffin. Go, I mean, but I don't hate it.
He going to bring the belt?
It'd be fun, yeah.
New York, everybody in the crowd going to be doing the belt.
Oh, he would be. I think he'd be good in New York.
I think he would be too.
He's a changed man from when Al Davis fired him with the overhead projector.
I think his personality would be good, I guess I'll say.
Blends with Jackson Darts. They're going to go to New York and...
take that voice to New York.
If he went to New York, Lane Kiffin, they would own that town. The two of them.
Instantly.
Moms and daughters everywhere. Look out. Lane Kiffin and Jackson Dart are rolling through.
I've been pounded this week.
We don't need any of that right now. You guys familiar with the novel The Outsiders?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. It's a great one.
Okay. Who's the better outsider right now novel? The Houston Texans or the Baltimore Ravens?
I'm going to go Houston because that division is stinky. BBL stinky.
Yeah, that's fair.
BBL stinky.
I'll go Baltimore just because.
You have no choice.
Yeah, I'm stuck here. This is it, man.
You're in the Goosebumps novels and you've hated the first three, but you've read them. You need to read number four.
I'm locked in. Yes.
Speaking of Goosebumps, you say cheese and die. Shoot up my shrunken head. Okay. Those are great pulls from your librarian. That'll do it for the library. We end early on the library because I want to give you guys a musical shout out. This is something we were going to do, whether you like it or not, because we called it yesterday, right? We said if we see that meme of John Daly and Tiger Woods on the golf course, yeah, where Daly's puffing a dart and Tiger Woods is looking at him and has the same record, and it's Carolina and Kansas City, by God, every time that meme hits.
What's up, y'all? I got a question.
You better believe it, baby.
Y'all ready to support these Carolina Panthers
and here
keep pounding against these Green Bay Packers?
What would you do with $150,000?
Yeah. Also, if I had $150,000, I want you to know exactly what I would do, y'all.
It's all about the Reese's Peanut Butter.
Check it out.
Baby.
Spend $150,000 on a football team. Wait a minute, that's not enough to buy a team. Spend $150,000 on a tricked out Porsche. Wait, what? Minnesota, it snows too much. Build me a tennis court outside my house. But the HOA is gonna make me tear it down. Might give me some Panther season ticks. Just might get a tiny home in the sticks. I get some Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Heck no, I ain't sharing. I'ma eat them all up. Might give me a plane and fly to Spain, except I don't even know how to fly a plane. Scratch that, I'ma get me a big old bus. One big enough for all of us, the double dutch. Getting chased by turkeys as we cruise around. Windows down, not up so you can hear the sound.
If you had $150,000.
So good.
I mean, if you're not in your car right now saying one of two things. One, make it stop. Or two, you want to hear it again.
Y'all, I got a question. Y'all ready to support these Carolina Panthers as they keep pounding against these Green Bay Packers? Yeah. Also, if I had $150,000, I want you to know exactly what I would do, y'all.
This is too short. It's way
short. $150,000 on a football team. Wait a minute, that's not enough to buy a team. Spent $150,000 on a tricked out Porsche. Wait, what? Minnesota, it snows too much.
Build
me a tennis court outside my house. But the HOA is gonna make me tear it down. Might give me some Panther season ticks. Just might get a tiny home in the sticks. I get some Reese's peanut butter cups. Heck no, I ain't sharing. I'ma eat them all up. Might give me a plane and fly to Spain. Except I don't even know how to fly a plane. Scratch that, I'ma get me a big old bus. One big enough for all of us, the double dutch. Getting chased by turkeys as we cruise around. Windows down, not up so you can hear the sound.
If you had $150,000.
So good.
I think I heard that song 18 times yesterday. Better believe it.
What the hell was that?
That's what goes. So that's what beats hard in the garage, dude.
Yeah, that's what happens when you're 5-4 in Carolina. You get an old man in socks singing.
Yes. Yeah, dude.
Awesome. I mean, the video is even better. How old do you think that guy was? 70?
55.
Oh, you think he was that young?
I mean, I'll split the difference.
I mean, he's out there karaoke in the song.
You had $150,000.
What'd
you do?
Tell you what, man. You better believe it. Oh, man. What a great question.
You had $150,000.
Keep pounding, baby. Every time that meme hits, that song blasts on these speakers. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan. You're over Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Tune in to hear former Chiefs linebacker Derek Johnson every Monday at 7:20, right here on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Mac, I hope you're ready for the whole city to turn on you, buddy. Welcome to the world. As we dive into our tough Tuesdays here on 96.5 The Fan, Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Likens with you until 10 o'clock. Because I'm with you. I was sending you some stuff yesterday, and I'm like, you know, we kind of breached this topic yesterday. Like, where was X in that game against Buffalo? So, Mac, why don't you kick off our tough Tuesday edition November 4th?
Well, yeah, I brought it up to you guys, I think even last week, of like, hey, man, just so you know, I'm monitoring. My antennas are up on Xavier Worthing, and I know the AC
joints.
Does
he know this?
Yeah, exactly. Notify him. Mac Morey is antennas up, dude.
I was with him at Verizon the other day. I could have told him, hey, man.
Hey, we're going to be doing stuff with Xavier Worthy here pretty quick. He's got a cool wine event coming up on December 15th. You can go to uncorkforacausekc.com and get your tickets for that. So
what do you got, man?
So what do you got?
So anyways, what do you got? His
love play, him, great guy.
Yeah, exactly. He is a great guy. We did us
real
the community.
Fast.
Awesome. But on the field, I have been let down, disappointed. I know part of that could be the injury AC joint. I'm going to give him a little bit of a pass, but
I wonder how significant that is. That's a good point by you. I wonder, you
I'll
know?
Give him a little bit of a pass, but I will say, like, we mentioned that injury being a little bit fortuitous for the fact that, okay, his speed won't go away, right? This won't affect his legs. Have you ever once seen Xavier Worthy, legitimately, and be honest with me, in text line 2, 913-586-7965, we had the fastest player in NFL history on this team for 7-8 years. Have you seen the 4-2, the 40 record guy, Xavier Worthy, be as fast as Tyreek Hill once on the field?
Okay, I'm gonna kind of go a different route on you. I don't know to answer that
Has
question.
He looked as
speed
fast?
Wide. Hang on a second.
Okay.
Let me get to the logic here for a second. Tyreek Hill had quickness about him. He had that twitch. And so that makes him look faster because he did so much like the quickness in his still position.
What was that?
His quickness in his still position like this. Like, like you would see like Tyreek was, he was quick.
Yeah.
He's quick.
He's one of the best receivers to ever play the game.
Yeah, right. But he had that quickness about
side
him.
To side.
Yes,
yeah.
That side to side quickness made guys miss.
But when did he develop that? Year two?
He was also a running back.
Yeah, he was also a running back
at
that time.
So more of that.
I think that's a natural God-given ability. I don't think you develop quickness or speed, you know? So I think Tyreek Hill had that quickness, and by having that quickness, it made him look so much faster. I think Xavier Worthy from point A to point B in a straight line is fast, but he doesn't have that quickness that Tyreek Hill used to have that made it look like it was in overdrive.
Yeah.
because no. Tyreek Hill would catch the ball and then jump out of bounds. Like, it was just bizarre.
It was.
The quickness that he had. Not the speed. It was the quickness, the fast feet, the explosive ability that he had to do, like, right at the line of scrimmage or when he caught the ball or all that kind of stuff. I don't think anybody in the NFL has that quickness that Tyreek had. He didn't have it anymore.
I agree. I think that's probably fair. I think even just the straight line stuff, I've not seen that elite speed of, like, whoa, there's Xavier Worthy on the field since week one of the first season last year against the Ravens on that jet sweep. I was there in person. I was like, whoa, that's the speed. That's why the Kansas City drafted him. Mm-hmm. I have not seen that since. And then Maxwell Hairston comes out yesterday and says, listen, man, he was tipping pitches. I knew when he was in the play. I knew when he wasn't. I knew when it was a run play. I knew when it was a pass play. I knew when he was going to get the ball based on his posture. Mm-hmm. And now it's come out since that report that this is a thing with Texas receivers. This is a thing with Adonai Mitchell, A.D. Mitchell over there in Indianapolis. Like, you can tip these Texas receivers' pitches and know based on their effort what they're going to do, how they're going to be in the play. That is not acceptable.
No, that's not.
That's not acceptable.
That part right there is not acceptable at all.
And I have one thing to say to that, and I'm talking to you, Matthew Nagy. You take that report and you put it right on Big Red's desk and you say, this is Project One during the bye week.
100%. That's right. No, 100%. It's the greatest thing ever that somebody on Buffalo actually said that. That's a stupid move. Like, if I'm Buffalo's teammates, I'm looking at that guy going, are you a dumbass?
I don't say that.
You don't tell people that, because what happens when you figure out that you're tipping pitchers in baseball? You figure it out.
Yeah, your hitters come up to your pitcher and say, hey, man, like, we're noticing that you're giving away when you're throwing a breaking pitch.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Max Scherzer when he played against the Royals in the last, home series of the season, and the Royals just absolutely obliterated him.
Right.
I was sitting right behind home plate, and after it was like three or four straight, you were seeing the batters on the on-deck circle straight to the ear, like, dude, here's what's coming. Mm-hmm. Watch. And it was hit after hit after hit after hit. And it was, once it's out, man, unless you fix it. So that's a really good point by the Buffalo Bills saying, hey, when he's looking this way, we know. And they said, I think before all that, they watched a ton of tape specifically on Xavier Worthy. So,
wow, that's a. I mean, it makes it impressive that they were scoring 30 points a game up until that, game where he was, tipping those pitches and whatnot. Maybe Buffalo is the first one to kind of recognize that. Credit to them. Big time credit to them.
But to your point, Bob, they've been scoring 30 points without Xavier Worthy doing much of anything.
Yeah, it's true, because they've got so many other guys out there right now. So you're saying trade Xavier Worthy?
Well, you want some
return?
I don't
hate that idea.
I
don't hate that.
I mean the only way to get good players in any sport is to trade good players.
Yep.
I mean, if you traded him, you could probably get...
I want you to know exactly.
I'm not going to do it. Yeah. I want to do it, but I'm not going to do it.
But what would you be trading him for? This is just hypothetical. We're having this conversation.
I would want a first-round pick, and I would want a player.
Yeah, I see you're not going to get that.
I mean, you could shoot for the moon when you put somebody up like that.
Yeah, I don't need that. I just want a stud defensive pass rusher.
So you'd be willing to trade Xavier Worthy for a great defensive tackle?
Why don't you
maybe
just
an edge? But
an
yeah.
edge? Okay. Like, would you trade Xavier Worthy right now for Max Crosby?
Yes.
Yes. Sorry, I almost.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So that's the type of trade.
Yes. Yeah.
Wouldn't that be something?
Boy, wouldn't it? That would be outstanding this week.
I know that I'm hard. Would you be more excited to see Max in 98 in red and white and yellow, or seeing Xavier Worthy over there in silver and black?
Yeah, that would hurt too.
I mean, it would hurt to see him over there. There's no question. But, man, you just said Max in 98 in yellow and red, and I just kind of got my pants tight.
I know that I'm hard.
Yeah, I pulled it in Selmo.
Yeah, there's movement down there.
All right, what about you guys?
My Top Tuesday goes to Dan Quinn. Brutal. Jaden Daniels, the elbow injury was disgusting.
Oh my God.
It's brutal. Don't watch it.
Accidentally. Yeah. And I almost threw up. I'm not going to lie. I'm sitting outside watching it yesterday, just kind of going through stuff, and it pops up on the, and I went like that. I'm like, oh my God.
And then he comes out and says, yeah, I probably shouldn't have had Daniels in there with the game at the point that is. You can't do that. You have to, look. I get it. You should have known that before. You definitely did know that before. The statement was ready. It was issued. Dan Quinn, man, everybody adjusted you from your last year's schedule, playing that last place schedules, taking the league by storm with the rookie quarterback who won Rookie of the Year. Video's out. Quarterback's out. Wide receiver one is in and out.
Loving in and out.
I would assume that if Dan Quinn has a rough patch to the season next year, time is going to be short for Mr. Quinn. in Washington. That is my tough Tuesday, is Dan Quinn.
Happens every year. A team surprises, and then the next year they play a normal schedule, and we see who that team really is. Who's it going to be this year? The Indianapolis Colts. My tough Tuesday goes to Jared Jones. I don't know what's going on.
Well, he's telling Stephen A. Smith who they're getting.
And then he teases a huge trade yesterday. Teases it like because that's what he is. He also said during that interview yesterday he wants to stay relevant. He cares more about staying relevant and being on TV than he does about winning football games. It's evident. And so yesterday he teases this trade, and then this morning they give you Logan Wilson. You're a 3-5-1 football team, bro. Like, you should be selling your parts.
Yes.
Not acquiring others because you stink. And Logan Wilson, that's the trade you've teased for 24 hours? That's a big wet fart if you're Jerry Jones.
You lost to Jacoby Brissett.
But he's got his priorities straight. He says, I want to stay relevant. And by God, you have done a great job of staying relevant. Relevant doesn't mean good.
So not a lot of people against you on the Xavier Worthy stuff. From the 913, Worthy has given us nothing. Would like to see Worthy actually contest for a high point ball.
Mm-hmm.
Short, fast player equals quick.
Tyreek Hill had a quickness that you just, I mean, it was insane, man.
Somebody says we're even seeing Rice take away the jet sweep from Xavier Worthy.
Yeah, even that's gone.
Yeah.
For Xavier. I don't know what his role is. Run in a straight line and be fast. He hasn't been able to do that either very well. And I know Hairston, but just for what it's worth, to give him a little bit of credit, Xavier, one of, if not the fastest corner in the NFL mm-hmm. is their rookie corner, Maxwell Hairston. So give Xavier a little bit of, you know, benefit of the doubt, but let's go, dude.
Well, it's let's go time for everybody.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, it really is. I mean, and
there's really nothing else you can do.
Yeah, like let's go. You're 5-4. You got your week off. You got an opportunity to fix a lot of things, get better, get healthy, and all that kind of stuff, and move forward and leave the first half of the season behind. And let's go. Let's step it up. And so I'm not willing to give up on Xavier Worthy yet. Now, if we're talking this time next year, maybe we're having a different conversation. Maybe we're having that conversation of, hey, maybe it's the best thing to do is to trade him. And I'm surprised. It's funny. Because if this was a baseball conversation.
Funny how.
Yeah, funny how. Am I a clown? Do I make you laugh?
All right, get back to your shine box.
I don't even know. Great line. Josh and I talk about the shine boxers all the time at sporting events.
Hate to be that guy. Hate to be this guy. The mailman from Cheers again. That scene when he does, Joe Pesci does that.
Yeah.
Nobody on the set other than the director Scorsese and him knew what he was going to do.
That's right. I've heard that too.
Everybody's reaction. Yeah. Even Ray Liotta's Leota. Like, we're still shooting. Like, that's all raw reaction.
Yeah.
Again, go back to
baseball.
Baseball. Yeah, right. So it's funny. The text line is agreeing with you to trade Xavier Worthy because when I say trade Noah Cameron, which has to be done this offseason, everybody thinks I'm an idiot. Oh, you can't trade that guy.
To be fair, you said trade him for Max Crosby. If you said trade Noah Cameron for Shohei, they made.
Oh, no. I don't think that. I think the way that I interpret it from Dusty is that the text line is with you of trading Xavier Worthy. Not
also the tough Tuesday part about it too.
Yeah.
Mostly like saying that they agree with Mac Tuesday, that he's not shown anything that he's you know, he's having a tough time right now.
Right. But if you bring up a baseball player like Noah Cameron, who should be traded this offseason, I get called the village idiot. You say trade Xavier Worthy, everybody, trade. It's fun.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
How the sports are different like that. It really is. It's completely opposite, and it's awesome, and I love every minute of it. Baseball players want to hold on to every prospect, and NFL fans, get rid of them all.
Sell it.
Give me my baseball back.
Coming up on the other side, the gap between first and eighth. We'll explain on the other side in the AFC on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.